Well, I want to thank you folks for allowing us to come and be with you. Share what the Lord has given us. So we desire your prayers. Thinking back when I was young, like everyone else, I had to go to school. And I didn't like school. I never liked school, and I don't even like the memories of school. But because I didn't like school and I didn't have any motivation for school, I didn't learn much. I mean, I learned what I needed to learn, but I look back at the years that I went to school now that I'm older and I think wiser, and I wish that I would have took advantage of the years that I was in school. Because I had to go anyway, why not learn something? And why not do the best that you can? You got to be there. I still find myself every once in a while or it would be nice to be able to type. I took a year of typing in high school, and I never learned to type. I didn't need the credit. So when I talked to the school people and I wanted them to put me back in PE again, which it would have been for nothing because I already had the credit, but I said put me in there anyway, and they wouldn't do it. And said, no, there's this one class left that you can take. It's typing. And I was, well, what would somebody like me need typing for? And I've needed typing a lot in my life and couldn't do it. I one-fingered it. Because I didn't take the time. I was there. I was in class for 45, 50 minutes every day and didn't learn to type. You know, I know there's all different ages here tonight, but do you know we're still in God's school? we're still going through life. God wants every one of us to be the best we can be. He wants us to have victory in our souls. He wants us to get to the places in our lives that we're functional, that we can handle difficulties, that we can work with other people, that we can share God's love with other people, that we can do all, and every bit of it takes schooling. And you know, if I went on with the attitude of life that I had when I was in school, I would waste years and years of my life that I should be accomplishing something in the Lord. I would go through all of the... Listen, anybody in here ever have trouble? Did you learn anything? Well, I hope the answer to those trials is that you said, I got a little gold out of it anyway. I come out of it better than I went into it. I took the time. I believed I had faith in God. I allowed this to... And I got something out of it from the Lord, because we all are going to go through the troubles whether you're saved or not saved. Whether you're sanctified or you're not, or whether you're into it or you're not into it. Whether you care or you don't care. Whether you want one or you don't want one. It doesn't make any difference. We're all going to go through all of these places in life, and we're going to have trouble, we're going to have difficulties. But do we end up better for it? Because the design in God, what God wants to do with it, is for it to do something for our lives that we can graduate with. That we can come down and graduate with peace in our souls. That we can come down at the end of it and have victory in our lives. And not only at the end, but God wants us to have victory when those times come in the life, that the struggle, the trials that come into life, that we can have been educated.
to know how to go through this, what's meaningful and what's not meaningful. Well, the devil sidetracks us too many times. The whole design of our troubles, and that's what our message is tonight, and I want the Lord to help us, because I think it's important that we learn how to get the best out of the situations that the Lord is going to bring. Because there's all kinds of things in our lives. Troubles come. Several years ago, an older gentleman in our congregation named Brother Jim White. Some of you may have knew him. Most of you don't. But he was a very, very faithful brother, and I enjoyed him. I told my wife he was 40 years older than me, but he was my best friend. I had fellowship with him, and I enjoyed him. He was one who was willing to share. Well, he told me, he comes to me one day, and he said, "What do you know about gas gauges, gas hands in his car?" And I said, "Well, little to nothing. What do you need to know?" And he said, "Mine quit working." And I said, "Well, that's not good. That's a bad thing. Sounds like trouble." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what I do. I got an old truck that the hand don't work in, and what I do is I fill it up with gas, and then I push the little button, and I know how many miles I've went. And for guys like me that don't like to fix stuff, it works real well." Well, he thought that was a pretty good idea. He had just filled his car up when it quit working. And so he decides he's going to, "I'll do that." Well, he does that, and a couple of days later, his car just quits on him. Just quits. And he told me, he said, "Take the fuel pumps out of my car." And I said, "Yeah, it makes sense, because I know that on a lot of those," this was an Oldsmobile, "but a lot of those, that's hooked up. Not that it runs one or the other, but you can change it out. You change fuel pump out." Well, I thought, "That makes sense." And he said his fuel pump was out. So he just took his car to the garage and had an appointment or whatever to get it done, and got a rental or whatever. They gave him a car. And then he comes and it was on Friday. And then I talked to him and said, "Did you get your car fixed?" He said, "Brother Marty, yes and no. My car is fine, but I didn't get it fixed." "Oh, really?" "No." He said, "I took it up there and they checked it out and said, 'You're just out of gas. Put gas in it.'" And I said, "Well, I thought you filled it up." He said, "Yeah, I went back and checked on that." What he done was, he pulled up to the pump, and he puts the pump in, clicks it on, and Brother Jim was one to talk to everybody. So he starts talking to somebody, and talks and talks and talks. And he talked a little bit, and then he comes back, it's clicked off, and he looks and says, "Oh, $37 was about right." So he put $37 there. He went back and checked, and he put 37 cents in. And then when he looked at his gas hand, he thought that it was broke because he didn't have no gas in there, and he just put $37 worth in. And he created his own problem when there wasn't one, just simply by not understanding what the situation is. Do you know how many times that we think that something's big going on and creating a problem in our minds? Something that needs to be dealt with, or something to work with, or something like that. I've done a lot of things that was my own. As a matter of fact, I'm my own worst enemy in about everything. My battle's almost always between my ears. It's in my mind that things happen. It's what wars on us and the trouble that has. But I want to say, in all of these things, whether pretense or real or whatever it is, do you know that there's a lesson in every bit of those things? There's something for us to gain in every situation that we have in life. There's something to learn from that. Something to get further along with that. There is, some things are make-believe, but some things are real. You know, there's people that really probably don't like you. I know there's people that really don't like me. I don't know why they don't like me, because I'm a likable person. I want to like them. I know there's no animosity between me towards them, because I want to like everybody. I want everybody to be my friend. But everybody's not my friend. There's people that don't like me just because they don't like me. I can be driving along the highways here and just accidentally pull over too quick or not get over fast enough. And there's people that don't like me because of that. Things happen. And there's all kinds of different trials and things that we go through in life, and they're called troubles. But you know what? There's something to learn about that. God wants this to come out in our good. Every time that we have a thing like this, this is a call for us to look to the Lord and say, Lord, what are You trying to get to me? Or may I say it this way, what can I get out of this? What benefit can I get out of this? Sometimes it's really, really hard. The Scripture says, and we know. And sometimes I ask, Lord, do I really? Well, the Scripture says, and we know, that all things work together for good. So I have to accept that. That all things, if I love God and call to go into His purpose, I have to accept the idea that all things work together for good. That no matter what it looks like, because in my human mind, I'll look at it and say, there can't be anything good in that. Well, He didn't say it was good, but all things work together for good. We had an interesting day today. It seemed like we was going on. I don't know. It was one of those days, folks. It was just one of those days. We was just spinning our wheels going around. I was in traffic. I was tensed up with the traffic. At one point, I just said, I'm getting out of here. I got to get out of here. My nerves is racked. And the traffic's going here. And we're going to find this place to eat. And we was going around in circles. And it wasn't working. And finally, we said we was going to get this place. And hey, there's where we're going to eat. And we get it on a GPS. And we go there. And we pull in. And they're out of business. After all that, they're out of business. What do you mean there? It's shut down. Oh, I said, I'm not surprised. And my wife said, you know, the Lord might be sparing us of something. You know, it was hard to accept that at the moment. It could have been real. It could have been right. But it was hard to accept in the passion of the time. But how do we know ourselves if the Lord don't allow these things to show us ourselves? How do you gauge yourself? Well, you gauge yourself real well. I'm perfect. I'm good. I have it all right. My intentions are right. Everything is good. But you know, we're kind of biased towards ourselves. And if we're really going to be honest about it, it's going to take something that comes in our way that checks our patience, that we'll be honest with ourselves and say, I'm not as patient as I ought to be. And that just proved it. Years ago, my first wife, she passed away in 99, but this was when we was first married. I was very young, and I was very young in the Lord. And as young people do, maybe all people do, we didn't always see things just exactly alike. Anybody else like that? I mean, we had our times that we didn't see it just right. And there was times that we really seen it far apart. And there was things that happened. And I started off living for the Lord. And I knew that if you live for the Lord, you act a certain way. You've got to act right. Am I wrong? You've got to act right, right? You've got to act right. It ain't supposed to be an act, but you act right. You perform right. It's by the grace of God. You learn how to pray. You learn how to get the grace of God. Folks, listen. We work together. We pray for one another. And well, we should. But everyone here that's interested in God needs to learn how to pray the prayer of faith for themselves. They need to know how to get a hold of God for the things that they've done. They need to have a testimony that God answered my prayers for me. Well, I knew you were supposed to act a certain way, but I wasn't schooled much. I didn't know much about it. And so we had our difficulties, and I learned to swallow and act right. And another thing would happen, and there'd be a little friction, and I'd swallow that down. That's not a good prescription, folks, for how to do these things. And we're going along, and I still remember we're going off of Miller Mountain. I was driving, I had a Cutlass Supreme. I remember still going down in that Cutlass and going down the road, and we got into a spat, if you will. We got into a disagreement. How do you want to say that? We didn't see it eye to eye. And I had swallowed and swallowed and swallowed until I tried to swallow this one and I couldn't swallow it. So I'm going down the highway 55, 60 miles an hour, and I just lost it. I just locked it up and went sliding down the road, sliding over and into this wide spot. Scared my wife. I mean, scared her. She didn't want to ride with me. I don't blame her. I lost it. It had nothing to do with the failure of the grace of God. It had to do with me not knowing how to get the grace of God. I never learned how to do anything but pretend like I was a Christian. I wanted to do it. I had the right heart for it, but I never learned how to do it. I didn't allow the trouble. See, every one of those things in our relationship should have made a better place in our relationship, right? Everything in there should have been a place to where we prayed through and got the victory over that, and it wasn't a matter of swallowing it. It was a matter of getting the grace of God that we can live through those kind of things. It's by the power of God that we live in these kind of things. The trouble was there for our benefit, but it didn't work to my benefit. But God made it to the benefit that the last thing that I done was able to say, I'm doing something wrong. I took a test and I failed. Bad. Zeroed it. I egged it. Goose egged it. No, I come out of it bad. And then I had to deal with the idea. Went to the altar. Pastor comes to me. Wasn't pastor at the time. The brother comes to me. I told him. I told him the story. Confessed that this is what I did. And he shook his head and says, Brother Marty, that's not the way you do it. Well, brother, I'm down here to find out how to do it. Because I don't know how to do it. Obviously, the way I'm living for the Lord, I didn't have the power and strength to do it. So I'm doing something wrong. Folks, listen, this is a way of the heart. And if we're not honest with ourselves, you'll never get to pass the test. You got to be honest with ourselves about this and say, I'm coming up short of what God requires of me in my marriage, in my relationship with the congregation, as a neighbor, as a friend, as a Christian. I'm coming up short of what I know the Bible teaches, and I need help to be able to come over. And listen, obviously somebody that's older is supposed to be wiser than somebody that's young. But does age make you wise? If it does, all old people are wise. I know a lot of old people ain't wise. Obviously, it's designed that you should be wise when you're old. You've experienced so much that the young ones haven't experienced. You have knowledge of how things work. You've seen the try. No, it does. Does tribulation, being in tribulation, automatically make you patient? Well, tribulation worketh patience. It worketh patience to people that give themselves to God through it. There's a lot of people go through a lot of things and don't get any more patient for it. They can actually become bitter, become harder. But we need to be honest about it. You know, there's the scripture of the sower. The sower went forth and sowed seeds. And where did he sow them? It sounds like he sowed them everywhere. His job was to sow. The Son of Man came. He sowed the seeds of the gospel. He sowed them everywhere. He sowed them by the highway. By the byways. He sowed them by the ways. He sowed them in fields where there was stony ground. He bunted it in the thorns. He sowed everywhere. You know, somewhere in that category, I'm in there. So one of those fits me. And one of those fits you. In our experience. I'm somewhere there. But maybe I'm the one that's in the cares of life are choking me. Just choking me. I never really get to the fullness of what I do. You know, if you're honest, you look and say, I ain't getting much fruit. it's not hard. You look and you say, I ain't got a fruit. I should be loving and I'm not. I should be kind, I'm not. I should be patient and I'm not. I should have something and I don't. I don't feel the Lord's presence. I don't have that. But I still want to serve the Lord. I'm still here. But you're being choked out. Or there's the idea of being on stony ground. You know what I'm saying? The sun was made to be a benefit to plants. You understand that? I mean, that's how they grow. But to the one that was in the sunny places, then the sun come up and withered. The sun became the enemy instead of the blessing. So it is with Christian life. The very thing that's made to make us grow can be what kills us. But it's all about where we're rooted at. It's all about what our heart is. But in Luke's version of this, it said that the place where the good was, that place where he sowed into that good ground, was that in a good and honest heart. In that honest heart. In that one that can realize their faults and their failures and their places of need, and be able to allow the troubles and the things that come in their life to reflect and show that we might be able. It's a testing. It's a testing to see where we're at. Lord help us. I don't want to spend... I spent 12 years of my life trying to avoid learning anything but pass. And I don't want to take my Christian life and spend my years not learning anything. Not getting any better. Not getting any more out of it. In a good... That good ground was in that good and honest heart that brought forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. But it brought forth fruit because of the honesty that was in it to be able to be honest about you? Is that what it is, my heart, so I can be honest about you? No, that I can be honest about me, of who I am, and the needs that I have in there. And when I take the test and it's maybe it's passing, but I know that I could have done a lot better than that. I know that I should have been more than that. There's a scripture I want to look at in Job, the 5th chapter. My mom used to say that it's not a shame to get head lice, but it's a shame to keep them. And I know her and her mother used to say, it's not a shame to get dirty. It's a shame to stay dirty. It's a shame not to learn anything from the lessons of the sinners. It's not a shame to have failures. I think everyone in here would probably admit to failures. I think so. I do. I don't think it's not my purpose to fail, but it's my humanity that fails. But I'll say this. It'd be a shame not to learn any better. Now, I had a little Ford Espire one time, a little Ford car, a little hatchback car. I don't know if they were little. And I didn't have no truck. I had that little car. And I need to haul some 2x4s. So, or at least one. I don't remember how many I have. I put the 2x4. So to haul it, I put the 2x4 on the dash and let it extend back. And I thought when I got back, well, what am I going to do with the lid? Well, when I got back, I looked and said, oh, well, that's nice. Hey, that'll close. That's what I'm thinking. Well, that'll close. I don't need to leave it open. So I went ahead and closed it. And for anybody that wants to know, the distance between the windshield and the back hatch of a Ford Espire is somewhat short of a pre-cut 2x4. Because I put it through the windshield. There's some things you don't do twice. I bought a new windshield, but I wouldn't carry 2x4s in there like that anymore. You've got to learn something by what you experience in life. And if anybody ever done that, and I've seen him do it, I'd say, hey, wait a minute. That's a little bit, you need it to be a little long. That needs to be, that distance needs longer, and it will work, and it will fit. There's things that you only You only do one. You should only do one time. You shouldn't have to go through that. But Lord help us, is that true in our spiritual lives? It should be true in our spiritual lives. I've done that, but Lord help me not to have to do it again. Help me to learn and get grace and understand what God wants for us in our lives. Now you're in Job, 5th chapter of Job. I want to get one expression here. In the 7th verse it says, yet man is born into trouble. I say that's true. I don't know which one of these characters said that, but I'll say that's a true statement. That man's born into trouble. I know that you can't get out of here without it. It's part, this is not the Garden of Eden. This is a fallen, sin-riddled world. There's going to be adversity, there's going to be problems. We live in a land of thorns and problems. Our bodies are mortal. They have pain. We suffer. All of those kind of things is a part of our experience here. Man is born to trouble. It says, as the sparks fly upward. That expression can be said simply as a fact. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Well, they do. And because they do, that was the point of saying it that way. But there's a lot of things that he could have said as true. But he could have said as surely as an apple falls. Right? I mean, apples fall down. They fall, they don't go up, they don't float. When they go up, they don't fall. You could have said the same expression with other things. But this says that man's born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. The idea of this is that trouble is our way of ascending. Think about it. This is how we arise. I don't want trouble, so I'm not going to act like I do. But the trouble that I have coming should make me ascend. It shouldn't bring me down. It shouldn't make me to ascend. And you read that through the Scriptures. That is a true fact. I mean, that's a fact, a truth that is in the Scriptures. That our problems, our difficulties, the persecutions, the suffering, the things that we go through in life are like sparks that ascend upward. They don't have to, but they're made to. Understand, the trouble that we come to is made to cause us to be more in contact with God. When I look around at our world and I see things like, well, if you all remember, it's very much a part of history now, 9/11, September 11th. But that I say that, and you got more in your mind than the date of September 11th. There's something that means something there. Do you know, I was out in the evangelist field when that happened, and that rocked the psyche of the United States. It rocked their consciousness. It rocked them to the idea of something. And people that never thought about God ascended upward. I didn't say they ascended far enough. I don't think they ascended far enough. But I know there was a debate at the time about the president that was in there because he would have prayer meetings in the mornings. He'd have prayer meetings, and there was this thing about him being that. But after that happened, they were having prayer on the Capitol steps. Nobody was saying you shouldn't be praying. Everybody got quiet about the no praying stuff. Everybody started to look. People started looking up more because that shocked them into ascending upward. You know what happens? What ought to happen? Every difficulty, every problem, everything that happens in our life ought to be a call for our ascension up in our hearts and minds to God. Lord, you're my helper. You're the one that can get me through this. Lord, teach me how to live this life. The Apostle Paul, he said at the end of his times, he didn't look back at the things that was trouble to him. He actually said, this light affliction that is but for a moment. But he was talking about things that most people would have thought was enormously heavy. But he said this light affliction, which is but for a moment, but compared to the glory that's over there, it's nothing because he ascended with it. And when he compared what he was getting with what he was given, it was nothing to him. At the end of his life, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. I learned through all of these things that happened. I learned how to be a better Christian. I learned how to be more faithful. I learned how to do the things that God wanted me to do. And by His grace, I was able to go through all of these adversities, all of these problems, shipwrecks, beatings, wrestling with the beast at Ephesus, he called them false apostles, false things that happened in life. You know, we can get stirred by those kind of things. But there ought to be a call for us, our ascension. It ought to go up like sparks fly upward. One said, as the flames fly upward, as flames burn, they burn up. They don't burn back down. They burn up. The heat drives them up. And so does our troubles. It should drive us upward. Folks, really, they're valuable. But only in the heart of those that love God. We could say at the end of it, I've been made better. Job said, I come forth as gold, pure gold. Job was a righteous man that God testified. But he said at the end of all that he went through, you say, well, that was awful. He was a righteous man. But I want to tell you what he done. He allowed the sparks to fly upward. Because he didn't charge God foolishly. He didn't turn away from God in the middle of the problems. He allowed it to drive him closer and closer to God. When they said, curse God and die, he said, you speak as a foolish woman. Would God not give? We would accept good at the hands of the Lord and not evil? It's God. It's God Almighty here. This is God, and He has ascended. And His heart and mind ascended upward, and He got the value of it at the end of it because He got to the gold. You know, God wants us to graduate from this thing as gold. You can't come to Brother Marty and say, what do I need in my life? Do I need to smash my... Hey, get a hammer. I want to be saved. Smash my finger. That would be foolish stuff. But God knows exactly what you need. You know, God uses... We pray for the souls, don't we? We have a burden to care. We want souls to be saved. You know, God uses His people sometimes to convince other people that they need to be saved. And we'll say, well, Lord, use me. But I'm going to tell you, when you say that, I know what people want to say. Well, if you owe people to the Lord, if they see how prosperous I am, if they see how much money I got, the Lord blessed me to have money and all these good things in my life, and if they look at that, they want some of that too. That ain't the way it works. I'm going to tell you how it works. Honest hearts looking on, and they see a Christian going through something and see something divine instead of human. They see something that would help them through their problems. They see somebody that passed the test, and they ain't passing. And they want to know, how do you pass the test? How do you get that kind of grace to where people are coming against you and doing those kind of things, and yet you have love in your heart, yet you have victory over those kind of things? How do you do that? That's what they want to know. You say, "Well, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. I want to have the victory too. I want to be able to show that." You know, the Christian era was not the beginning of the gospel era was not built on prosperity. Look anywhere and show me that the Christian age, from the first century, from Jesus' time on, was built on prosperity. It was not built on prosperity. It was built on persecution and suffering. And people looked at that and seen the people that had great victory in their heart over their problems, over their persecution, and the persecutor tried to persecute them and couldn't make them hate them. They couldn't make the Christians hate the very ones that was killing them. And yet they looked at that and said, what is this people? What is this people that have such love and charity and love one another and able to give and do those kind of things? What is that? It speaks to something that God put down in the hearts of everybody. Everyone has a seed down in us that we know what really down deep we know those things. Lord, help us. Because, you know what? If the Lord don't come back, we're going to have to face life. Well, I found that victory is pretty easy in a setting like this. Really, it's pretty easy. Then you turn around and go back to your job. Then you turn around and start rubbing shoulders with people that don't like you. Then you start finding the difficulty and things that happen in life and just the simple frustrations of things. Then you start really saying, where am I at? But man is born to trouble as sparks fly upwards. And everything can be something that we could say, thank God for what He's doing. Thank God that He's willing to work in my life. And I want to tell you over and over, I want to testify to God here. Because I want to say there have been times that I have said, I can name them to you, but some of them wouldn't be, I don't think it'd be proper for me to say, but there was times that I said, I don't know what to do with this. This situation seems so out there. I don't know what to do with this. It doesn't seem like there could be an answer. It doesn't seem like it can possibly work out. And just the only thing I can say, Lord, I'll give it to You. I'm just people trying to figure it out. People trying to work it out. People trying to come up with the solution and the answer. Laying on me, this is charged to You. What are You going to do about this? I don't want to do about it. I'm going to give that trouble to the Lord. I learned something. Listen, I've been in school a little while. I will tell you something I learned. Give it to the Lord. And over again, I haven't had to lay my finger to it and God dissolve it. God work it out in me saying, I thought I was going to have this and this was going to be the result and this could have been this. And God dissolves it away. Because He's able to do it. Amen. Folks, listen, Lord, give me the right words here because this is so valuable. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't pretend to know everything. Paul said, it's no great thing that I be judged of you because I don't judge myself. I wait till the perfect judge comes and judges it. So if you want to judge it, ain't no big thing to me because I don't judge me. I'll judge me wrong. And what I want to say here is as many times we get in these personality struggles and we get into these things and we're convinced that somebody's wrong or somebody's doing things and it really lies within us. I've seen people get offended over stuff that they had no right to be offended over. No right to. What if I decide that I hear you all had a business meeting and chose yourself an extra trustee. And I decide, well, why didn't they pick me? And you would say, well, that's foolish. You don't even live here. That's what I'm talking about. People get offended by things they have no right. If I'm going to be offended by that kind of stuff, I'm going to be offended all over the place. People make their own troubles many times. I have no right to be a trustee here, but I can get offended because I wasn't trying. I've seen that kind of things happen. And people end up thinking, I know they're sincere people that want to serve the Lord. But they get themselves in these kind of places. I want to tell you, if you want to be successful, stop and ask God to reveal you to you. Reveal me to me. Lord, I have these things. I can't. Listen, if you can't get along with your husband, and you can't get along with your children, and you can't get along with the neighbor, and you can't get along with your mother, and you can't get along with your brother, and you can't get along with the school, and you can't get along with the people at the grocery store, stop and think it might be you. Because it might be you. Well, back up then. Cut half of that off. Cut a quarter of it off. Cut it down to a quarter. Cut it down to just one and say, is it me, Lord? Before I go laying all this negative and all this judgment, Lord, help me to see me. Help me to pass the test. Somebody says something to the Lord, they reviled on the Lord. He reviled not again. Passed the test. When they was crucifying him, he could have called lightning up, but he didn't. He could have been done all cut, but he didn't. And he shows us what really victory is. I went to the coal mine, worked in the coal mines. I went to the coal mines one day, and there was a guy there, his name was Chuck. Chuck was a minister of a certain religious persuasion around in the area. And I come and said, "Oh, Chuck, how you doing?" Well, he said, "I'm doing pretty good." But he said, "I'm going to tell you this." He had a pipe. And he said, "I'll tell you this. I've been praying that the Lord would give me the strength of Samson, because if I go in that mine today and the men get on me, I'm going to lay this pipe on them." There's victory in one way, and then there's victory in other ways. You can go crack everybody on the head and call it victory, but that's not God's victory. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The victory is when I got victory over me. When I got victory and I'm able to love them that don't love me, I'm able to have my heart right and able to go through those problems. Folks, listen, there's been many times that I've had people that was adverse to me, and I said, by God's grace, Lord, help me. By God's grace, I'm going to make a friend. And you know, that's happened to me a number of times in my life, to where the Lord helped me to have adverse people, people that was really against me for some reason or another and just didn't like me because they called me that preacher down there or because they didn't like. And God helped me to win them. There was a guy, just as common as this, there was a guy up there that I would go play basketball with some of the guys around in the community, and I'd play basketball. And they, when I first went, they looked at me like I was strange. Well, I am a little strange, to be honest with you. I'm different in the world. I don't claim not to be. I try to be. I want to be. I want to be what the Lord wants me to be. And I don't drop any standards for anything I do in any situation. So I'm me. And I go play basketball with them guys and be out there with them. And one guy in particular, he didn't like me. He wouldn't throw me the ball. He wouldn't involve me. He wouldn't talk to me. He wouldn't do anything. And I thought, he don't like me. Well, he didn't like me. But I didn't leave it there. Because the Lord can help us. You know what happened? Me and my son was just out shooting some basketball one day, and he comes along. And he comes along, we start talking, and he starts shooting. And I outshot him. Now, this was the basketball player. And I outshot him. And you know, from that time of me outshooting him, we have been good friends ever since. Well, take it however you want to. But I didn't give up. I didn't quit. I had an adversity. I could have just said, I ain't talking to that guy. I don't want to be around him. I could have got carnal about the whole thing. We're not supposed to be carnal. Man is born to trouble. As the sparks fly upward. Always upward. Always elevating. Always pushing us to higher and better. That we can lift up. We're to walk. We're to be on the highway of holiness above. We're to walk above the troubles and problems of this life with God's grace, not by ourselves, but by God's grace. Men have accomplished and done some of the most spectacular things by God's grace. Yes. Stephen was stoned to death and loved the stoners and asked God not to lay it to their charge because of God's grace. That's spectacular. Yes. There have been the martyrs of the first century that went on and gave themselves with victory. You can read Hebrews, and it talks about the great cloud of witnesses in that of faith. All those are faith. And it says some of them did not, when they turned down their deliverance, it said. They wouldn't accept the deliverance that they might have a better resurrection. They had victory. You know, there was people that actually stepped up and said, in the middle of the persecutions, and stepped up and said, I'm one of them too. Well, you say, that's kind of silly. They did it by grace. They was able to have victory over their problems instead of looking at the carnalities and all the things that happened and the trouble that, when trouble comes, Lord help us to get this, in this great school of life, when troubles come, that we can look and say, Lord, what's my lesson? Lord, how can I come out of this better than I went into it? I've had people that looked at me as a Christian with disdain. But I hung in there and they'll end up asking you to pray for them. I've had family members that didn't act like they liked it at all. They get in trouble and they'll call for you to pray for them. You know, it's funny. Don't expect for them to say, hey, and about that past attitude I had, I'm sorry about it. Don't have to have that. Most of the time it won't come. I've noticed it. But it's enough to be said. Pray for me. Help me out with this. Because the sparks is always supposed to fly upward. Lord, help us. If our sparks are flying upward, folks, they'll take our family with us. It's the best chance they got. Yes. If they look and see us through adversity, conquering ourselves. No, don't conquer your neighbor. Don't conquer your husband. Don't conquer your wife. Conquer yourself. By the grace of God, the sparks fly upward, and you can say, it was by God's grace that I'm better at the end of this trial and this sickness and this affliction and these problems and these difficulties that I went through. I'm better now than I've ever been before. I'm better. One of the hardest things that I ever went through was mental problems. Anybody ever had a weak mind? I had. You push yourself, it'll happen. I pushed myself, I got a weak mind. I had a weak mind. I always thought that I was strong in everything. I never had a weak mind. I made up my mind and done it. It's strong in my mind. You know, I was living for the Lord, and I started getting weak, and I come real close to having a nervous breakdown and all those and those kind of things. And I want to tell you, by God's grace, the sparks flew upward. God was able to teach through that. Listen, I'm never naturally, and I still say I got a long ways to go, but I have almost no natural compassion and things like that for certain things. But after that, I did. Because I started asking the Lord to have mercy on a poor, feeble-minded person that couldn't handle things. Well, I just said, handle it! Would you just do it? Just do it! God, you just go and do it! I couldn't just go and do it. I got in a place where I couldn't change anything around. I couldn't change. It was great. And God, I remember right where I was at when God touched me and healed me. But I was different at the end of it. Now I can say for those like that, Lord, have mercy on them and help them through that. That's real. That's real and it's a problem. Lord, help us. You can't change yourself tonight. You can't change yourself. It's going to take the Lord to show you, and it's going to take the Lord after you see who you are. It's going to take the Lord. And He's got something tailor-made for you. Don't be afraid of it. Now, don't be afraid of it. The Lord is good. Don't be afraid of it. It's tailor-made for you. If you're a person that's naturally vain, well, none of us would be that way, but if you are, I mean, if it could happen that there was somebody that's naturally vain, oh, something will happen. If you're vain about your looks, oh, you got something coming. I ain't too vain. Yeah, I'm glad I ain't one of those. I'm glad I don't care. My hair is falling out. I'm getting old. I know it. Even starting to lose it in spots now for some reason. Hey, the Lord's got ways. But they're good ways. They're good ways. You're strong and you can accomplish everything and all of a sudden you can't hardly do it. Now it's embarrassing. I can't even hardly feed myself. I can't hardly. Hey, God knows exactly, folks, what you need. If you're one of these people that's smart and intelligent and got that, wait till your mind starts slipping on you. Ask, what was that? I just can't quite get it together. Especially when you're preaching. That's another story. You're going along and all of a sudden it slips on you. The Lord's got a way for all of us. We need the Lord. I want to give one more illustration. I believe it's this way for ministers, and I believe it's this way for everyone. In my ministry, and I think the Lord's helped me. I feel like the Lord's helped me, but I want to tell you, when the Lord really is wanting something special, I almost always will go through something to get me to the place that I can deliver the special thing of the Lord. And there has been times. And I'll give you one instance. We was in Wisconsin tent meeting one time. In that particular meeting, there was a number of people that came to that meeting seeking, really seeking God. They were seeking after the Lord. It was a very special meeting. I've heard this was one of the few times, but I've seen it. But I've seen it up there. I literally had to get tissues and wipe the tears off the altar. There was crying like that. We had such a move there. And it comes Sunday morning. And my little boy got sick, and he was wanting prayer, and my heart was torn between him being sick. He was sick, and my heart was there, and I had to preach Sunday morning, and I was in such a place that my mind couldn't focus. I couldn't do that. And I told the Lord, Lord, you're going to have to help me because I can't get it. I have no capacity. I can't get anything in my mind. That by far was one of the blessed services. I didn't have it, so God just gave it. Just gave it. I found it and just gave it because He wanted something that I couldn't do in my capacity. So He takes it to that level. Listen, God wants to make gold as the sparks fly upward. You want to be another level? God's got something. Don't be afraid of Him. He's good. But He knows that we're hard sometimes to get there. And so He's got a tailor-made place to get us there. Your troubles, your problems, your difficulties, as a Christian, He's not forsaking you. He isn't turning you down. He's tailor-making that to make gold. You pray for me.